This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
As you know, there's been a lot of discussion about flood defences, or the lack of them, and that usually involves the construction of various barriers. But are there methods of at least mitigating the effects of floods that don't involve construction and might be a wee bit kinder to the already damaged environment? The researcher Saive O'Neill has a few ideas. Good afternoon, Saive.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So tell us what they do in the Netherlands.
Well, the Netherlands is a densely populated country that's very low-lying and is prone to flooding and has experienced really devastating floods over the last century, which forced it to erect all these dikes and so on that we would have learned about in geography class in school. But in recent years, they've had to take additional measures because about 60% of all the built-up areas in the Netherlands are completely paved, if you like. So they have started removing that paving in every small pocket of residential areas, literally by lifting up the tiles, as they call them, or paving stones, and planting plants of any kind, basically, that would be able to allow the land to act as water storage. So instead of running off the paving, the water is absorbed directly. And obviously you have to do that on a large scale for that to make any difference. But impressively, the Dutch have this competition that they run every year between local authorities. And they've so far, since 2020, claimed that they have lifted over 20 million paving stones. And they have a kind of a Tegel taxi system where the local authorities will go around and actually collect the stones from residential areas and give people advice on what to plant in their place. So all of this really does help. And the local authorities are taking this very seriously as an approach. But obviously, they're still kind of relatively small scale and urban solutions. On a larger scale, the Dutch are now looking quite differently at allowing the land to act as a kind of sponge for water upstream and creating more space essentially for heavy bursts of rainfall. And legally speaking, this means that you don't have an automatic right anymore to just send your grey water, water from, you know, runoff rainwater type from what you call them,
your toilets and your bathroom and all
from
that.
Your roof. No, yeah. not the sewage water. Right, sewage water has to go into the sewer. But anything else, like wastewater from a washing machine or from your roof or from the hard areas around your dwelling, they don't have an automatic right to go into the sewage system. And this is critical because you can then create incentives for people to not pave certain areas or to put a green roof on the roof to absorb the water. And this has been very effective. And in Germany, in fact, they have a special tax system whereby they charge you a fee for discharging runoff water into the sewer to discourage people from doing that and encourage them to use green approaches instead. But on the large scale, the critical difference is that in many countries now, including the UK and Wales, they mandate local authorities to look at kind of green infrastructure solutions as a priority. So before you think about erecting any dikes dikes or dams or walls. You have to have a plan for managing rainwater. You have to have considered environmentally sustainable solutions. You don't even have the right to connect to the public sewer anymore in England. This is a really groundbreaking change in the UK. So the new rules are really forcing developers to prioritise infiltration so that the water soaks into the ground first, attenuation with storage ponds, swales, green roofs and rainwater gardens. All these beautiful sounding things are really just kind of forms of landscaping whereby you're creating the space for like pop-up ponds, essentially, to hold the water and slow the flow. Because eventually all this excess rainwater is flowing into rivers. And then that is what's leading to the surges. So if we want to tackle flooding incidents, we have to consider all these micro solutions, as well as look on a bigger scale about how we can slow the flow of rivers with leaky dams and more floodplain space so that rivers can spread out rather than increasing the speed of flow as they gather rainwater from these deluges. And just to say as well, Sean, you know, I've been listening to Professor Mary Burke, who's the expert in this area in Trinity, and she makes the point, and I think we have to remember this, that it's completely normal for Ireland to flood, to experience flooding. We have a wet climate. We have a fairly flat topography that, you know, allows the water to accumulate in the Midlands and then reaching their rivers. And then, of course, they come into the towns and cities. And we need to be prepared for this flooding rather than treat it as a surprise. And there will be occasions when hard engineering is appropriate. But the first port of call should be the green solutions, slowing the water, allowing the land and surface area to absorb the water as a sponge.
Yeah. Is there any way of calculating how much, you know, how much land mitigates this much flooding, if you know what I mean? You know, if you get an inch of rain, if you have 10 acres to absorb it, you're grand or not. You know that, you know what I mean?
I think there are ways of calculating that, but it would depend on the amount of rainfall, obviously. I'm just thinking that they, I think in Germany, because of this fee that they've introduced, they have got ways of calculating. And it's not applied everywhere, I should say. I think it's in Berlin and a couple of other cities. But they have a calculation, all right, about the area and the amount of rainfall that is, you know, you're expected to be able to manage on your own site. And the thing is that that's all kind of after the fact. The real point of the fee is to discourage people from not thinking about it, to force people to think about, you know, lifting paving stones and creating green roofs and managing rainwater on site. And this is a very practical thing. I mean, many Irish houses have gardens. We have the means to put small rainwater gardens on our own properties. It wouldn't be the case across Europe that lots of residential properties wouldn't have gardens, but we tend to in Ireland. But we also have a habit of paving over them, especially to create driveways. But even driveways don't have to be completely paved over. You could have a green strip in the middle. You can use stones, French drains. But we should be thinking about water attenuation, getting the land that we can control to act as a sponge. But for local authorities, this does mean making calculations about how they can avoid towns from getting flooding. And, you know, really that means trying to slow the water upstream by perhaps negotiating arrangements with farmers to allow rivers to flood upstream. And that obviously has an impact on farming, but at the same time, it can protect properties from those disastrous impacts.
Yeah, I'm glad it's the end of the show where I'd have to read out a load of complaining texts from various farmers. Sive, thanks a million. As ever, that was Sive O'Neill, the climate and environmental researcher.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.